This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Well, I just bought Howard the Duck today too, and I love that movie. Everyone hates that movie. I think it's awesome.
That's a bad movie, Phil.
No way. That movie is awesome, Howard the Duck. I love that movie.
No way. It's like a total... It's like they just dug up Steve Gerber's corpse and shit in his mouth.
Well, I don't care. No, I don't care that it's not like the comic. Because when I was watching it, I had never read the comic, you know. So for me, it doesn't bother me that way.
There's like not being like the comic, and then there's being like the almost exact opposite. Plus, Beverly was a rock. She's supposed to be a fucking stripper.
Yeah, see,
I thought that would piss you off, Phil. That doesn't bother
me.
You're glad they got rid of the stripper. Hello, indie comic book noise fans. We're back after a shorter hiatus than in previous weeks.
I thought I announced last time it was our final show.
Sadly, what are you doing here, then? Yes, Phil's off on his own. But we are summer break. Steve is also not with us this time again. He was called off for fun in the sun and beach time and all that type of stuff, leaving just the hardcore indie comic book fans that are Kevin, Whirlwind X.
Hello.
And
Phil, who doesn't get a nickname.
Nope.
And then myself, Andrew, the LA Rabbit, dialing in from California to balance the two Canadians. And no, this is the show where we talk about independent comic books. And as Steve always likes to tell people, this is the podcast sponsored by no one, but we are part of the Comic Book Noise family of podcasts. Thanks to Derek Coward for continuing to support the show. I'm deciding unilaterally to eliminate show numbers because I can never remember what episode.
I don't blame you.
I was going to ask you, what episode is this?
Who knows?
368, guys? Come on. Who cares?
But if you enjoy this podcast but are curious about the company known as Marvel, a subsidiary of Disney,
hey,
we host another
all-ages-friendly
podcast called Marvel Noise.
Yeah, that's the podcast network that makes this podcast not come out often. So if you want to write hate mail, write it to that podcast.
Hey, we're here without Steve. If we had to wait for him, you might never get an episode.
So we are we're the independent comic book noise show. Yeah. So we just talk about books that we dig.
Mind you, a lot of these companies aren't so independent these days, but
no.
and they might have superheroes in them.
They might also have movie deals attached to them as well.
But it's not the big two.
But if you kick us off.
Kevin?
Oh, you want me to kick us off here?
Or pass it to Kevin.
Well, you know, I did a reorganization of my stuff, you know, my trades and my comics and what have you. And I noticed I have a lot of stuff from, like, a small publisher. Like, I don't know if you... Sometimes you look at your shelf and you're like, wow, I have a lot of whatever, like a lot of powers or a lot of, I don't know.
Porn. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just like, wow, like how do I accumulate like all that stuff? So I just thought it was interesting how I had like 10 trades and probably some issues kicking around too from ATI Planet Lar. Like I'm like, that's pretty, like, that's not a big indie publishing house or anything. So I'm just
like that company. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was just like, wow, I have, like, that's probably the most I have from like, a small thing like that. Like, usually it's, you know, spread across something else, like maybe Ad House or something. But I was trying to think of, like, someone that doesn't have something in previews every month or from way back that I have, a lot of. So I don't know if you guys could go into your filing cabinets in your brain and pick out something like that without... you know, doing research ahead of time.
I'm kind of visually triggered normally. Like, it helps me just to look at, like, stacks of comics laying around and be like, oh, there's a comic I haven't talked about. Also, there tends to be a recency bias for me. If it's something I've read lately, it's more likely to stick in my pea brain than trying to draw back something I read even, you know, a few months ago. It can be difficult at times.
And yeah. I don't understand what you want me to look in my head for.
No.
What are one of these cool comics?
Well, I think I was drawn to a lot of this stuff because it's like early stuff from like pretty name creators. Like they're not all like some of these people, I don't know where they disappear to or what they do, but definitely like some hilarious stuff. But like you have your Joe Casey or your Fraction or like Fabio Moon.
Okay, and what about the good guys now?
You don't like those guys?
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I like them.
Godland, baby.
Or then your astronauts in trouble. So that was just an interesting thing for me to like look at. Like I don't really have a review saying, hey, I read one of these. I will read one of these because I acquired one pretty cheaply. So
that's all by that company?
Yeah, like... Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else they've done that I've read. But like I thought it was... They're not a European company then, I guess.
No, they were American.
Okay.
But I just thought it was interesting. Like, I can see why I was drawn to all these types of things. Like, you have the annotated Mantooth, Cold Flesh, Full Moon Fever, Hench, The Last Sane Cowboy, Last of the Independents, Smoking Guns. Like, a lot of high concept stuff.
Last of the Independents, that's probably where I know it from.
Yeah. Like, I remember they even did a book called Proof of Concept, where they were, you know, proving the concept. Like, here's a short story. And they'll take some crazy thing, see if it works out and everything. And then, you know, I imagine you could spin off a movie or whatever from those short stories. But I don't think anything became of them from that book. But a lot of cool stuff. A lot of stuff I followed in probably early to mid 2000s.
Well, that's cool. Phil, what have you got for us?
Well, I've been reading a bit of like aliens and predator stuff. So first off, I got... I don't really want to talk about it, but Predator versus Judge Dredd versus Aliens. Did you guys ever read those?
No. And
the reason why I bring this up
read
is...
read some of those.
Yeah, what, the Alien or the Predator one was a 3-issue miniseries, and then the Aliens was a 4-issue miniseries. And it got me thinking, like, I can't think of any Judge Dredd story that I could really think of that I really enjoyed. Like, do you guys have a landmark Judge Dredd story?
I have one that people always tell me to read that's on my shelf, but one that I read, no.
Because it just seems like such a boring one-note character. Like, I have read a lot of his stories.
I think it's boring one-note the same way that you could think that superheroes are one-note. Like, it's like doing one concept over and over again, but I imagine different writers bring different things to it.
They have personal lives and stuff that make them more complicated. Like,
yeah.
But Andrew, have you ever read a Judge Dredd story that blew you away?
I've read a bunch, but I like for me, Judge, he's oftentimes not the main character. For me, it's like I really like the mega cities, I think. Mm-hmm. Like it's like the world is more the character. Like I like the mutants and the weird wasteland and the cities and the bureaucracy and like I think they built this really fun world.
So he's more just like a little story piece for you.
Yeah, because he doesn't really, I mean, I'm sure there are Judge Dredd fans that can expound upon his nuanced personality, but for me, he's almost just like a force. Kind of like how Steve used to talk about that with The Punisher, like he preferred the stories where he's more just kind of like a force of nature, and that's how I think of Dredd, is like just this kind of almost deadpan sort of an unthinking kind of almost fascist like guy that just bashes heads in. But that world is such a funny, over the top, crazy with the mega cities and all that it's fun to be in that world. I'm probably more of a Judge Anderson fan than a Judge Dredd fan.
Okay, what's Judge Anderson?
She's the psychic one.
Oh, okay. That's another thing I noticed too, is girl dreads always seem to have their helmet off. Is that part of the lore or something, or?
I thought it had to do, isn't it some kind of thing with the psychic powers?
All of them aren't psychic, though. Like, these just happen to be the ones I've, like, stories I've read. It seems like all the girl characters just always have their helmets off or something.
I think a lot of them end up losing. I think it's just that Dredd never loses his helmet. Like, that's part of the lure of Dredd.
But yeah, that's not the comic I'm talking about. The comic I am going to talk about is...
Fake
I read,
out.
It's four trades, like, collected. The Fire and Stone series, which is Aliens, Prometheus, Aliens versus Predator, and Predator. They have it as Prometheus first, then Aliens, but I think that reading order is wrong, and it should go Aliens first, then Prometheus. And basically, I was really hoping this would... Well, this was Dark Horse's relaunch of the series and of the properties, which tied in more to the movies.
Yeah, I heard it was a little bit like of an origin.
Yeah, sort of. Like the first book, Aliens, which is really the second book, but the first book really, is... it takes place, I think, 20 days or 30 days before the first movie. So that one, like, and it doesn't really explain Aliens or the Prometheus stuff at all, but it makes you feel like you did learn more by the end of this series. Because it's basically on the planet, I think the Prometheus planet that took place in that movie. I forget the name because it's all, like, weird numbers and stuff and codes. And on that planet is just basically a swarm of aliens. And one of those...
So this must have come out... pretty recently, Phil, right?
Yeah, this was probably maybe a year after the Prometheus movie or something.
Oh, okay. Because I normally think of those Aliens crossovers as like from years ago.
Oh, they've always been
around. I didn't realize.
Yeah. They've never stopped. Like, they've always been coming out pretty much for the most part. It kind of got bad at the end. But for this relaunch, I thought it was pretty good. I don't think there's been any since. But it's basically just a crew trying to survive, having to deal with predators, aliens, the Prometheus dude, and spanned over four books. Two of the books are basically you're following around a bad guy, which is kind of different, but still works. My favorite of the books, though, being the aliens, I think, which took place in the past more. But yeah, I was hoping they would all take place around the first Aliens movie, but it was like 100 years later, like the main story. But it's pretty much all stuff you're used to, except, like I say, you do walk away feeling like you know a bit more. You just can't really pinpoint what that is. More than the Prometheus movie, though, anyway. So,
who are the creators?
You got like Chris Robinson, Patrick Reynolds, Paul Tobin, Dwayne Ferreira, and a bunch of others. Joshua Williamson is involved.
Oh, wow, that seems like a lot.
But yeah, it was a good group. It was a good crew that did it. I was hoping to see more, so I don't know how well it did.
That's cool. Well, I guess it's time for me to fall on my sword and issue a big mea culpa apologies to the Indie Noise listeners and to the creators of a comic book I spoke about last time. The comic book I should have mentioned is Mavi, not Maui. The title script, and I'm sending some links so that when this gets posted, they'll be posted, you'll see. It's done in a flowery kind of script. And what was really dumb about Andy is I'd started reading it, and I'd met the character Mavi, and it didn't dawn on me till I was finishing it that, like, oh, wait, Mavi's probably the title of the book. Because I'm like, when are they going to get to Maui?
If you're on a payroll, you'd be off the show right now.
So I checked the indicia and it's Mavi, and I feel like such a dunce, but now I can speak a little bit more intelligently.
Shamed. You about shamed your name. Shamed.
I did.
You shamed the punk. You shamed us.
I've dragged the show down in infamy, but you'll be able to go on the links to their website and their Tumblr and see some of the artwork. One piece in particular that I forwarded to the boys that's on the Tumblr page is... they took one of the double-page spreads where the main character, Mavi, meets Yasel. Mavi is actually the bad guy in this.
We have a Tumblr page now? So on
the Tumblr. Yeah, they have a Tumblr. And I'll have the links. No, what I sent you guys was just my own version. I took a picture out of my book, but then I realized they actually have it on their Tumblr. That's not a crappy cell phone because they took the double-page spread and turned it into a little postcard thing. Mm-hmm. And it's Mavi transforming from a wolf into a woman with like a wolf headdress standing in front of the other Yasel character. But what I really enjoy, and you'll get a little bit of that from there, is that they use a lot of tone. And the two creators, Eva Cabrera and Claudia Aguirre, what they do is they swap off chapters. But I think they have a really complementary style. That's why I sent you a double page spread from each of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other one was by the one with the wolf is the Eva Cabrera one, but I sent you a Claudia double page spread that I really liked. And that's the one where they're fighting the bar with the stone creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like those a lot.
Yeah, I would say Phil and I seem to think there seems to be a manga influence that Kevin doesn't feel is there.
I thought so, yeah.
Oh, no, I thought it was there. I just... and maybe it's because of what I see so often, like...
Well, you read it a lot more than us.
Yeah, well, they said, oh, that looks like, you know... the manga influence thing, and I'm like, well, there's a lot of different styles over there. It's like if you said there was, oh, that looks like an American style. Well, so there isn't
like
really...
nerdy, 2D snobby with that
no,
stuff.
No, I just think it's like if people thought, like, all of North America was, like, superheroes, like, granted, there's a lot of superheroes, but if that's what they thought all comics were, you'd be like, well, no, there's other stuff. So once people say, oh, there's a manga style, that's what I... That's another one of those things, like the superheroes.
Why do you hate Western comics?
I know we always get into this, but I'm always saying, like, send me all of these mangas and, like, strip out the word balloons, and I'm thinking I'm probably going to guess it's a manga versus
it's true.
You know, like, there seems to be some.
Yeah, but they don't all have the same style. Like,
it seems like there's a feel.
And I guarantee you won't be able to tell if the artist is male or female. That you will never be able to figure out.
That's because it all looks the same.
It doesn't.
But what's interesting is why when you start reading it, the chapters seem at first unrelated because they jump around in time and location. But you start to understand that they are linked because the Mavi is a magic character and so is Yasil. They're introduced in the second chapter. Well, they're also mentioned in the first chapter, but you don't realize because it starts out as this pirate story. But I enjoy the kind of fantastical element because there's also a real darkness in these books. For instance, in the opening chapter, the pirate chilling their essence to power himself. So you have this kind of very pretty artwork, but it's underlined by some real dark twists. And a lot of times I don't always see, and maybe it's just an unfamiliarity with whatever genre this is based in, but for me it's enjoyable. So you have these running themes about flowers as well, and these characters as they're portrayed different ways and in these different realms and different incarnations. And it made it really fun to read through the whole thing, but having only done a few chapters, I hadn't linked it all together till I went through the end. But I really think it's a fun book. The artwork you can see, and that'll tell you. Like, if you don't like the art, then I probably wouldn't. You know, it's a comic book. That's got to drive the bus as far as I'm concerned. But
nope,
I'm
story.
Well, you can have a novel then, Phil.
I say story drives the bus.
And part of my weakness is also, as you guys know, I really love tone. And they use a ton of it. Maybe it's the printing, I don't know, but I just love that. Man, it reminds me of the old days of actually applying Zip-a-tone. But, so it's this fun, bizarre, at times dark, but generally uplifting story of Mavi and Yasil. Not Maui, because I'm a dumb idiot who can't read. So it's Mavi. Is the character. But it was just so funny as I'm reading this going, boy, I don't know why it's called Maui. Hey, wait a second. What if the main character is actually the title of the book, or one of the main? I mean, because she's actually the bad. It's kind of like naming the book Maleficent or whatever, like, as opposed to Yasil, who's the, you know. But it's fun, you know, there's dragons, there's all kinds of magical creatures and fighting and check out those links to see the artwork. But I'm a big fan, as you guys know, of Boudica Comics. I'll continue to support their output. I even ordered one right from Mexico. So,
well, that's right. That's the Mexican company.
Yeah. I wanted Mexican comics.
I wanted those horror.
The Daymares. So here we are. Apologies to everybody. Thanks for listening. Sorry, people. I'm human.
Well, I guess we'll let this slide this time.
Yeah. You know what I'm looking forward to is the game after this podcast where we play if Andrew can tell what country the artwork is from.
Yes, well, I'm not going to be able to tell which country, but I can definitely tell. Like, actually, I think, well, no, European, like, I couldn't tell French from Italian. But I definitely think Euro has a feel.
Yeah, Euro.
Because, you know, some of those Titan books... Before I knew it was that were Euro, I could guess. Like, I'm like, this feels. So I think also about the page, I think, ratio. I wouldn't be surprised if that's different generally.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you'll be able to, that, to tell the feet. Finnish stuff is different from the European stuff. I don't know. We should do this game. This is a fun game we should do.
Well, speaking of fun games, I'm now that I feel like my soul has been unburdened with my crime and shame,
sort of.
I can sit back and enjoy Kevin telling us about an exciting comic book he has read.
Or a comic book.
Oh, I don't know. I might disappear for like half an hour talking about this.
Valiant.
You know it. I'm like in love with this Bloodshot Reborn series.
Boo.
Oh, I forgot.
Right, who's the creatives on this thing?
We got writer Jeff Lemire, artist Raul Allen with Patricia Martin, and additional covers by Borja Pindado.
Yeah, maybe indie isn't the greatest title for this book.
Hey, Steve described it as everything but the big two. Is that not how he described it?
No, it's true, but...
The times are different. We're forced to. You gotta remember, like, I don't make it to cons, so I have to get stuff at the comic store.
And he doesn't do digital, so.
And sorry, Kevin, go on.
So issue 5 is when we get to, it's featuring the Blood Squirt verse.
Blood Squirt?
Yes. Because
the images came in my head there.
I think he originally wanted to call it Blood Squirter, but I think that was struck down. Just like they don't have Livewire, you know, a character from the Valiant universe in here as Live Squirt. They actually changed that one so it's Squirt Wire instead. Because usually, you know, you have the first part of the name and then you put the squirt at the end. But then if your first name is you know, too awkward.
Why is Live Squirt so bad?
I'm just guessing that they wouldn't, that's why they, you know, it gets too adult.
It's not that bad.
I'm guessing. Yeah.
Well, you guessed wrong.
Did I? You need to tweet him up, Phil, and ask them why it's Squirt Wire instead of Live Squirt. Ask them that.
This universe sounds silly. Why are they all squirts?
Well, I'll tell you the brief story before issue 5.
All right.
Because Bloodshot's trying to get all his nanites back. Because people that have a bit of his nanites are like going crazy, murdering people, and everything like that. So he has to get his nanites back. Mm-hmm. But the way Blood Squirt and other things come into the book is that he has these. It seems like he has these programs within himself, like where he sees like visions of stuff or whatever, and he's hallucinating.
You gotta admit that's like the dumbest name for a character.
What, Blood Squirt?
Yeah,
it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Like, he used to have this thing in him called Golden Boy that would, you know, sort of direct him.
Let's make it dumber.
But, like, it seems like that went away. Like, there's protocols within Bloodshot because he's, like, you know, a living weapon.
Oh, so these are, like, personalities that live inside him?
Well, it seems like these are, like, the nanites are his, like, tech part of him. Trying to take control of him to get him to do things since he's, you know, basically a killer.
Mm-hmm.
So as he gets more and more nanites, like these, he keeps on hallucinating more and they keep on talking to him like, you need to go get the other nanites. We don't want other people to find this stuff. Mm-hmm. You need to murder these people. And he's like been doing drugs or drinking and he's like trying to get these visions out of his head. So the issue 5 is the one where it seems like he's almost at the tipping point where he's gonna lose like the humanity that he's gained. Good. But he was never a great human anyways. And he doesn't really know who he is, but like the nanites are trying to say, okay, we're almost at the tipping point. You need to like get the rest of these things so we can take control of your body again. So they're trying like really hard. So at one point they change his whole perception of reality and all the artwork changes and they go into something that's sort of like the Squirtverse. Like where everything was like realistic artwork, all of a sudden everything becomes like a cartoon. Like before Jeff Lemire was like drawing this cartoonish Blood Squirt into like the realistic artwork. So there was a huge a huge contrast between the two. So in this issue, they go in, like, when they get into the Squirtverse, everything's like a cartoon. Like, it's all geometric, like maybe like a Samurai Jack, like really bright colors, and things aren't outlined anymore. It's just like all done with color. And they're like, do you even have the like Bloodshot's like the Bloodmobile, and it's like all those crazy type of like Batman-ish things or like superhero things. So it just goes crazy. Like, you see all the Valiant characters as Squirt characters, like the live Squirt, you know, Squirt Wire type of conversation we just had. But it just seems wrong. Like, it seems really messed up, because then it's like more of a kiddish thing. And he's like, no, you need to murder these people. So you're wondering if he's actually murdering people while he's seeing these visions.
Murdering cartoon characters are a little more cute.
Yeah.
It's not that sick.
But you're kind of wondering how much of this, like, is he just standing somewhere? Or if this is, he's actually murdering people at the same time.
It sounds to me like he's actually there, and that's just what he's seen in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's doing whatever he's doing there, I imagine.
But it's like he's in a battle for control of his own body. And they even had, like, the dead Geomancer here. Like, he's been seeing her, too. And then he's like, well, I really want to get rid of Blood Squirt. It's driving me insane. But if he gets rid of Blood Squirt, he's going to get rid of the Geomancer that he was in love with. So he likes seeing her, but he doesn't want to see Blood Squirt anymore.
How long has this arc been? Because usually Valiant does, like, 3-issue arcs.
It was the first four.
The 4-issue.
Yeah, and this is probably, like, part one of the next arc, but it very much seems like a single issue. So it seems like by the end of it, like, he might have gotten rid of Blood Squirt, but you're never entirely sure.
Let's hope so.
Because what if he gets more nanites? Like, like Blood Squirt's just going off on all this crazy stuff, and you're like, yeah, what if he gets all the nanites back this time, and he's not the same person at all?
He's got to be back to his normal self by issue 12, I'm sure of it.
Maybe. But they also had, like, the other series had this file that was going to tell him, like, who he really was. And he can never look at the... Like, he can never bring himself to actually read this file to figure out who he is.
I thought he did read that.
No, he never did. He keeps on trying to open and trying to read it. So he's going to get someone else to read it to him. So maybe he'll find out who he actually is.
What a wimp. Let's read the file. Big deal.
But maybe
he can get rid of it.
Well, this is why the nanites are talking to him and can convince him to do certain things. Because maybe he doesn't care who he actually is. Maybe he likes killing people.
He used to be a badass.
Yeah. So maybe he actually.
Now what is he? Nothing.
Yeah. So maybe he actually secretly liked killing people and doing that stuff. That's why he doesn't want to know who he is. So yeah, I don't know. It's just a really interesting concept, I think, and how everything just switched it up in this issue with the RSL and everything. I'm like, yes! Like, I would say, like, I was a... Like, I've read some Punisher comics, but I don't know if I could say I was a huge fan of Punisher. Well,
here and there, kind of thing.
Yeah. But, like, compared to something like Bloodshot, I'm like, since the beginning, I'm like, I've pretty much loved everything.
Had a couple weak points, but for the most part, yeah, I was enjoying it for a while. The start for me was... It took me a while to get into it at first.
I think that when they just... sort of had that whole Harbinger Wars, and there was a couple issues where his book didn't really matter in that story. Like, that was the... I think that was the only disconnect for me, but otherwise, I'm just like, oh, man! Like, always in these compromising positions or something crazy is going on, and, like, him seeking out, like the Pokemon thing, oh, you gotta catch them all, like, that could... seem like it doesn't come off so well, but that he sees all these other things and that he's going crazy and doing all this crazy stuff while government forces are, like, closing in on him, it, like, just takes it to another level.
Sounds like a wacky adventure.
But that was only one of the issues of Bloodshot this month. There was also a fall of Bloodshot that was incredible.
Squirt Town. Squirt.
I think Phil probably has some comics with Squirt Town in them that look a little bit different.
Oh, I had a bad case of the squirts yesterday.
Isn't that also a drink, too, Squirt?
Yes, it's a grapefruit-based soda.
The American one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Phil, what have you got that's squirt or not squirt related?
This is definitely not squirt related. Well, maybe in a bit, in one way. It. I never thought there'd be a time in this universe where I'd be collecting like 4 Archie titles a month.
That's pretty crazy.
That's fucked.
It totally is.
And you guys know my stance on Archie. I think he's a villain, and he should not be supported. But these adult Archie books are just getting me.
So which ones are you getting?
Well, first there was Afterlife with Archie, which is amazing, but at the same time I'm a little over it because it takes so fucking long. Like 2-3 issues a year is ridiculous. But every time one comes out...
I'm a trade awesome. Waiter on that one.
Yeah, but you're going to be waiting. Holy fuck, you'll be waiting. And then number 2 is...
Sabrina,
which is my favorite. I love Sabrina. They're at issue 4 right now. A new issue just came out like a week or two ago.
So there will be a trade because I'm reading the issues for Afterlife, but Sabrina, uh-huh. I'm just like another...
Oh, Sabrina's so beautiful. I hope they have all the covers in there for you.
Yeah.
I'll probably double dip with that one. Are you going to get that, Andrew?
Yeah. I liked Afterlife, but mm-hmm. I'm like, that stuff works better in trade. I can't remember if they take 3 months to get an issue.
Sabrina's totally different than Afterlife, though. Like, it's a totally different tone and everything.
Yeah, but she's banished to like some evil dimension, right?
No, this is a totally different story. It doesn't tie in with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's still. I guess I'll find out. Though it's really good, but yeah, I always was hoping that it would be that too, but it isn't, sadly. And then third was the awesome Archie versus Predator, which was ended really good and everything, and Archie got his due. And then, can you guess what the new one is?
It's one of their superhero ones, maybe?
Oh, I didn't know they had superhero ones.
Oh, yeah.
The Red Circle titles are back.
Oh, yeah. I was been thinking about those, yeah.
Yeah.
I was probably, if I see a trade, I'll probably pick those up.
No, it's Archie number 1.
I tried that one. Was that it, Phil?
Oh, is that out? Archie number 1?
It can't be Archie number 1.
Fuck no, I'm not picking that piece of shit. Why would I pick up that piece of shit? I'm after the good shit. Like this at horror online, you know. No, this is Archie versus Sharknado.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So this one was not as good as the rest, but...
Wow, really?
I went to guess that.
But this is only a one-shot, so that's okay. For me, I love this whole new thing of seeing Archie characters being torn to pieces. That's why I'm loving these comics. The Predator one did it awesome. And I find Sabrina, though, and Jughead always get it the worst. Jughead survived this one, though. But Sabrina, of course, got it. But yeah, basically it's done in the Archie style by Dan Parrott, who isn't that the guy that Steve showed us a sketch of?
Yeah,
he's a really top-notch artist.
Yeah, so it's him and, the things are in the back, so it's a little harder to find. And
I think he's the guy that created Kevin Keller, too.
Okay. Oh, okay, so that makes sense why he's drawing this then. And he's good with the style. And it's a story by Anthony C. Ferranti, which I imagine is probably either a writer for the movie or an Archie writer, I guess. But yeah, it's done in the... It starts pretty quick, actually, because it takes place between the second and third movie. It's because it mentions... it starts off with the picket line kind of saying sharks are, like, not to, like, kill a tornado and stuff like that. And it starts off with Betty and Veronica getting stuck in it and having to fight them off. If I compare this to Archie and Predator, let's say, because it's the same type of comic that was done in the same style and its characters getting killed off and everything... Where that I would give it a 5 out of 5, this I would give it maybe a 3. But I think it's more, I don't know, it's not because it was Sharknado. Like, I realize Sharknado's stupid and everything, but it's kind of fun to watch the movies sometimes and everything.
So you've seen, I haven't seen the movies.
I've seen the first two. I haven't watched the third one yet. Me and my friend, when she comes over, we'll get really drunk and we'll watch and laugh at them usually. But we realize, like they're not good movies at all. But yeah, I would say this would be a pass, though. Like, don't, even if you're a fan of Sharknado, like, don't even, it has a really pretty cover and everything, but I didn't really enjoy myself reading it. Where the Archie versus Predator, I was craving it month after month, I found. It was, you gotta pick that up and trade. But yeah, either way, though, I'm very happy with Archie these days. I'm sure the Red Circle ones are good. They're normal Archie stuff, like the new one. I'd like to hear you talk about it if you said you read it.
Yeah, I have the first issue of one of those books that I have been meaning to
You read
get
it
to.
too, Andrew?
Which one?
The
Archie
Archie, the
versus
one.
Predator?
No, the Archie number one, the
Oh,
relaunch.
Archie. Yeah, I read it. It's
Can you talk
Mark
about it a
Waid,
bit?
Fiona Staples. I wasn't going to because it didn't really tickle my boat. Every time I try Archie, except for these weird things, it just doesn't. I can't get into it.
Yeah.
It
Is it
seems
way
like it's a
different?
fine. Not really. It seems like just the only difference is the one of them hasn't moved in. Veronica hasn't moved in. And Betty and Archie are on the outs a little bit. But I don't know, like Team Jughead seems a bit more on the ball. But I kind of thought, I don't know. I mean, it's updated with cell phones and stuff, but I thought they'd move
That's
it.
Mark Waid, isn't it?
Yeah. I thought they'd just move it a little bit different. Like, I don't know. I thought maybe instead of hamburgers, maybe Jughead sniffs glue or something interesting.
No, in all the ads, they're very clear it's hamburgers.
Yeah, but that could be like a code. Like hamburgers really means like crystal meth or
Well,
something.
like you
And
wanted it to be a little more
well, that sounds like that criminal story that it Nevru Baker and Bill Phillips did.
no, but not pushed to that kind of. There's plenty of like recreational crystal meth users who don't, grind out all their teeth and,
What does
perform
Jughead have
sex
to
for
get?
money or whatever.
Why does all the bad stuff have to happen to Jughead?
Okay, maybe
Freaking
make.
Archie's the bad guy.
Yeah, maybe make
Kill Archie.
Archie. Maybe Archie likes to, I don't
Yeah.
know, make him
He
smoke weed or,
likes to do
I
a
don't
little,
know.
he'll do blowjobs for crack. That's how I'd write it.
Not, like I said, not quite that salacious because,
Oh
but
no,
like I
he's going
said,
down.
there's like recreational drug users, and I thought some kind of, or maybe, I don't know, he likes
Taking
to,
hits.
maybe he likes to, I mean, nothing, like he's not a serial killer, but maybe he does like to, kill animals or just something on the edge a little bit, but
Holy. Whoa,
not push it over
what?
the top.
So kids can't pick up his
Wow.
comic now.
Is are comics really for kids anymore?
Archie,
I mean, is
yes.
a kid really going to spend like $4 or whatever that? I don't even remember what it cost,
I'm pretty
but
sure
you
kids
know what I
one
mean?
of that's one of the big or I don't know if it still is, but it was one of the biggest growing parts of the industry, we
Because
don't pay
for
attention to.
kids, it's the one comic that's always around, so it's something that kids could always pick up.
Is that
Like
that kids
they
read stuff
can.
like Bone or whatever?
That's comics.
I know, but that's not comic
Don't
store
twist me.
comics.
No. You mean direct market
Like,
comics?
yeah, like Archie is a direct market. That's why I was like, oh, maybe
Oh.
Archie's.
But I
I don't, or
assume
maybe
they're
Archie's
gonna.
like.
You don't think they're gonna roll these into like digests at
Well,
Walmart
maybe
or
they. I don't
something?
know.
Maybe
I don't
that's what they're
think
gonna
they
do.
will. These new ones, maybe not.
I mean, I didn't want it so over the top, but maybe Archie's a bit of a bully. Just something where he's a
Oh, he
little
is. He's a
edgy.
scumbag. He's a fucking scumbag. He treats those two girls like shit.
Maybe he like beats up Jughead once, like just not.
Oh,
Like I said, I
he's
don't want it to
older,
be.
total life beater.
You mean he's like a bully on Facebooks or something?
Yeah,
He's a
not
womanizer.
like, not something that's so crazy that you're like, oh my
Like
God,
this
it's
guy
a
at school.
lifetime movie, but just something that gives it a little bite to it. Like,
He's
oh my God,
sexting or
Archie really
something?
likes to. Yeah, or maybe he like steals girls' panties or something. I don't know, just something that
Whoa, that's a
that's
Japanese manga if I ever heard of one.
where it's a little weird, like a little bit that's makes you uncomfortable, but it's not so crazy that you're
But
like,
that's
oh
why
my
we have
God,
the horror
Archie's a
line,
serial
though.
killer.
Because the horror line does that stuff.
No, but the horror line is pushed to the extreme. I just
Yeah.
wanted something like I don't know. Yeah, maybe Archie likes to, he's an exhibitionist or something. He likes to,
You have
go
so
to
many
show
ideas. Holy
strangers his
moly.
penis or
You
something.
got a pervert inside you, boy.
Nothing too edgy. Like I said, just some. Or maybe how about this? Archie's got an eating disorder, like he's anorexic or something. Like
Wouldn't that be
something just a
Jughead?
little kind of off.
Or he likes sticking things up the
No, Jughead's got like the hamburger thing. Like he can't be anorexic. Maybe Jughead's bulimic. I don't know. Just something that's
Maybe that's why he's
not
eating so
too
many
over the top,
hamburgers, yeah.
but something where it's like, whoa, what's wrong with this guy? Or I don't know.
Well,
Maybe Archie is like a cutter or something like that. Like he can't
those are
relate
some
other ways
definitely
to.
some extreme answers, but I get your point for sure. But I think for Archie, they got to keep it somewhat clean, though. like for the main one.
Yeah.
They're trying to make that as the main one.
Yeah, that's it's probably just not for me, and I'm the wrong guy.
But I did try it. I might see that in the future because they're taking a lot of chances these days.
I mean, it's well executed. Like, mm-hmm. Fiona Staples is clearly going to do a good job. Mark Waid's a good writer. I don't know what, like, I don't know. I guess it's just the sort of average. Well, the other thing is they're not even average. They're always, like, the cream of the crop. Like, yeah. Archie's popular. Maybe if they made him kind of outcast or something, that would be more interesting. Well, he should
be an outcast, really. Well,
you know what we have to do? We have to get the OC TV show and fit the Archie characters into the OC.
Why would you make us remember that show existed?
Because it has comic connections.
Because I think that's maybe it's his popularity that makes it seem weird. Because I thought Archie was kind of supposed to be an outsider, but he's like the one of the top favorite kids in the school or whatever.
It's a universe where gingers are like the shit. He's like the only ginger around.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. Well, like I said, clearly I'm not the target audience. I don't have anything bad to say. Clearly, talk about it.
But you guys buy fucking shitholes like Jem.
That was good.
You
can look at the artwork and say, "Oh, that's not good," but you know,
my problem with that was having the Sarah Richard covers and then having an interior artist that's completely different. Was too much cognitive dissonance, and it put me like I thought it was going to be all Sarah Richard. I didn't know she was just the cover artist. I mean, you think I'd figure this stuff out?
Could have done your
research. Yeah, like 20 years ago, Andrew.
Should have looked in it before you bought it.
I know. Well, I don't mind buying it the first. Like, you know.
Yeah, first issue.
But it just meant I wasn't going to buy any more. Yeah. And I thought, I don't know. I think with a new property, maybe matching the cover and the interior with complementary styles. Instead
usually
of like,
it's always different.
It's not like one was better or worse. I really jive on her artwork. And I thought it fit. Especially the musicality of Jem. I'm like, oh, that's all the flow. Like, that's a great way to depict music visually. It's like these flowing lines of energy and hair and everything. And then, you know, you look at the interior and it's a different take and you're like, oh, man, I got it all built up in my head.
Yeah, don't they usually have like 10 covers or something per issue too? So that's another challenge.
Oh, some companies are out of control with covers like Avatar.
Don't even go there.
Where it's $150 American and they'll put in like 30 or 40 of the same comic just with different covers, though. It's all like, who buys that shit?
I'm
embarrassed
people.
To say.
What do you mean?
At San Diego, I did buy their convention exclusive Providence number one.
30 of them?
No, just one.
No. Oh, okay, but these are like paid extra where you get like every copy of the same issue.
Oh, no, but I did pay extra for the one. It was like the convention special. And I like Alan Moore, and I was kind of curious to see his take on Lovecraft as a character, kind of with all his faults. Because Moore is one of those guys that has directly addressed that Lovecraft was, you know, racist and homophobic and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, that'll be interesting to see him take that on. Because normally people kind of run away from that.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's difficult to swallow. Like, I like his writing, but I don't think I would have liked the dude, you know? But I have another book if you guys want to talk.
Of course.
I have, I backed a Kickstarter. And this was a fun Kickstarter because I actually backed it twice. The first time they didn't make it, so they repackaged it and backed it again. And this is A Hero's Death by Ricardo Sanchez, Mark Teixeira on art, and letters James Reed. Mark Teixeira, you may be familiar, has done some work for a larger writer. Company. Yeah.
May I ask you something? Now, hopefully not sure. Off track, but what did they do to repackage it that made people fund it?
They lowered how much they wanted and lowered the unit costs, and they had a very optimistic view of what they were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they realized they just don't. Mark Teixeira is a name, but I don't think he's that big a name that they could
not anymore
demand the sort of premiums that they wanted, because it was really pricey the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciated that they took the feedback and were like, look, we can make this happen, but we just need to you know, adjust it and make the price. And I don't feel like the overall product suffered, because I have I got the one with the PDF and the book. And it's, you know, Teixeira's artwork is really nice. And it's sort of a throwback story, sort of evocative of another age. I have like a fake 10 cent on the cover. It didn't cost 10 cents. And it's based on this short story. And it's about an older heroine, the hero. And she was, they just called her the hero. And she was around back in the day. And then in the golden age, they even call it. And she disappeared after she saved this family, but she was the first time she wasn't able to save everybody. Mm-hmm. And that was the last time anyone saw her. It was in this building explosion. And it starts with this reporter interviewing this old lady who was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't really get too far into it without, but it's an interesting look at sort of the changing of the times and these characters. But it's really Mark's artwork that's, for me, driving the bus.
I like him. Yeah, I do.
This is a really fun take on his approach, and it's a good size, but like, this is a full graphic novel. And in the back, they do throw in like a text piece. And I'm embarrassed to say I haven't read it. Like, it's like, I mean, I'm glad they threw it in, but
let's face it, The Island, that issue has a text piece too. And I'm going to pass it because it's just too much to read. Like,
well, it just seems like, you know, part of the sale is, because there's also pinups in the back. Mm-hmm. Like, most of it's color, but there's some, like, preliminary sketches that aren't. But then there's also covers of this character with a sword, which I think is Magda. And I think that's the story in the back. But, like, his artwork is just, it's a fun, really good book. Like, I'm really glad I backed this. And the story is interesting. Like, don't get me wrong, the story's good. But this is just fun seeing Teixeira kind of on their own with its own property, this hero. And she's like got red hair, but not real voluminous, like a shortcut, and sort of thigh high boots with a half cape. You know, how much I love the half cape from my going on about it on Marvel Noise. And then the swimsuit with the diamond cut, and then the long evening gloves. And like, that's the outfit. So, you know, revealing, but not ridiculous. Combining it with this, you know, the changing of the time and everything. But I just wanted to give it a big shout out. I got my reward.
What was it?
So I know that's always, that was the book. I got the book, physical book, not just the PDF. I mean, I got that too, but.
Did they sign
it? I don't recall off the top.
You
mean
you kickstarted a book for them and they did not sign it for you?
I don't remember. I know they were signing some of them. I should have picked it up at San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I definitely could have gotten it signed, but I don't remember if I did or not. But what was funny is when I backed the first time, I actually talked to Mark at San Diego, and he did a little quick head sketch for me and took a picture and all that other stuff. Like, he was really super excited when I backed it the first time.
What about us guys in Canada if we backed it? I would have expected a signature, right?
I don't, there may be, I don't want to say there was or wasn't. It's not something really. I don't, the signature stuff isn't, I mean, I'm glad that they do it, but I don't, unless I get the signature myself, I don't have a lot of, like, for me, the signature is the experience. Like, yeah. I don't really buy books for, like, it's me meeting them and saying, oh, I liked your work whatever. It's
all my signed books are mixed with everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, oh, this has some value or something. Like, I like to talk to the person and say, oh, I like this part, or what are you doing, or I like these other books or whatever. But what I don't know also, and they may have sent an update, is I imagine this is going to be available from someone, but I don't know who. Like, I would hope they would print this out by some other publisher, but it's A Hero's Death, and it's Teixeira and Ricardo, and it's a fun kind of throwback story. And it's obviously like a complete OGN, like the whole thing is here. All right, let's run around the horn again here. What have you got, Kevin?
What do you want? What do you want to hear?
You must have picked up some still going through your haul from the big show, right? Or have you read all that stuff?
No, I actually didn't read anything for this episode from the big haul. I was thinking about it just before we were recording. I'm like, I should have read something, one of those things, but
All
not
right,
so
how
much.
about well, you're still you can give us a follow-up. What's going on with like line management or something?
It's over.
How about I sent you a link to the that Project Black Sky Secret Files type of thing they had online. I know of terrible timing because like the line isn't around anymore. But you know, I guess I was too deep into the Valiant superhero universe that I never got around to the Dark Horse superhero universe until it was too late. No,
Well,
I don't
you
know.
know,
What
it's
else can
tough
I
to,
say, right?
right,
But
it's tough to buy everything all the time.
yeah. But anyways, yeah, I noticed they had the like I guess it was a web comic to begin with, and then it went then they put out a print version. But anyways, I just read it online, and it was sort of like the origins of their universe. And I'm like kind of fascinated by this like idea of like I guess government agents changing superhero history. Like I've thought of similar things where like well the first story by Fred Van Lente, the artist always changes per chapter, but the first one was Steve Ellis is basically
Oh.
Superman coming to Earth. And like you know his rocket lands on Earth, some farmers are coming to get him, but instead of him being
Mamba.
raised to be Superman, like they murder him. Like these agents show up and just shoot him full of lead, and it doesn't end well. Like that's how a lot of the superhero stories are in here. It's like horrible twists, like the Twilight Zone to like all these DC Marvel legends, like how it is in the Dark Horse superhero universe. So that's just it was just nice to see all these different things. Like the second one is a Fantastic Four one, which was really cool. 'Cause I think it's sort of like the ultimate type of thing where it seems to be you always have to replace the something in the Fantastic Four origin, right? You can't have them like stealing spacecraft and trying to beat the commies or something. Like something there it just isn't gonna work. So this is like an all black team of Fantastic Four, and they go up into space, and they're gonna like breach realities, and they get into some trouble, and they're like, no, it's all good. Like we're gonna be heroes of our world. But then where they end up is like, it seems like either an alien, like aliens have intercepted them. Or it's like an alien world where there are some aquatic characters and other stuff like that. So you're like, oh no. And like every chapter ends with like, no one is coming to save you, or there is no future, or some kind of crazy thing. There's also a Wolverine like guy, like a Green Lantern like guy. I think he ends up like murdering all these people. So and then it sort of like ties into like their Free Comic Book Day issue, and then you see the heroes that are actually in their universe. But I thought it was some interesting takes and twists on familiar tropes and characters.
So it sounds kind of like a what if type of thing
Yeah.
in a way.
So yeah, I would say if you're into what if, like I would definitely check this out because it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so it interesting to me. Something I'd like. I always like alternate takes on superheroes.
Yeah, and if you don't like the like Superman or whatever, like I guess you would be
I
cheering,
like
right? You'd be like,
Superman.
yeah.
All right, Phil. What
Well,
have you got here?
I got a blast from the past when from 1986 by Arrow Comics, the Realm number one, volume one. If you guys ever heard? Uh-oh.
I sent those I sent a few of those to Slurmo. A
Okay.
few.
Oh.
I went back east and I was going through my collection and I was culling
You have realm
books
issues?
out because I was like, oh, because I have all those comics and I never moved them out west and I
Okay.
was giving a bunch away and I just happened to
I'll
randomly
take
go
them.
through and I was like, oh, these are kind of fun and comics. They look kind of cool. And I knew that
Well, you never read them?
Oh no, I read it when they came out.
Oh, okay. And you're
But
a little
I
whippersnapper.
knew that Slurmo, that's Bob Gar, and he's the Earth 2 guy. I know he likes Guy Davis.
Okay.
So I sent him a bunch of the issues because I had, I had like issue one, two.
Oh, yeah. Penciled it.
Maybe three or four. Like, I had the first few. Like, not, I didn't go deep into it.
Yeah. But well, there's been a few volumes, yeah.
First handful of them. And I was like, oh, Slurma likes Guy Davis. So I just popped him in the mail. Because the problem is, I have so many comps. Like, I had to give a bunch because it wasn't worth, I'm not going to ship out a ton. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm not just so not paying that money. So I just shipped out like a giant box worth of the stuff that I thought was either fun or valuable and then just left the rest of it there. And then mailed a few random things to people because I know he like, well, he says he likes Guy Davis. Maybe he's lying. I don't know. You can listen to that Earth podcast.
He better because I would have cherished those.
Oh, I wish I'd know. I didn't know you were a Guy Davis fan.
Nope. I just like the realm.
Yeah, so I read, but you
who's Guy Davis? He did that. Things. He did that fish comic recently where it's like Marine Man or something. Is that no?
No.
What did Guy Davis do?
He is, if you're familiar with, there's a company called Dark Horse.
Uh huh.
They have the little chess piece guy.
Yeah.
So.
So the, he did logo.
The marquee.
No. So he did nothing. Yeah. I guess.
He's worked on Hellboy-related comics.
Oh, okay. That's where I know him from. BRPD.
Hellboy.
Probably, right? That's where I know him from.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, and so he works on BPRD.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like his, obviously this is from 86 or whatever, so this is way, way before then. So I saw the name and I was like, oh, because you know that the Earth 2, they only talk about Dark Horse. So
okay.
It seems like it.
No, they don't. I like to just give them a hard time. So I was like, oh, I'll pop these. Yeah, if I'd known you were a fan of it, okay, I totally would have sent them to you, Phil. Sorry about that.
I'm only recently a fan. It's because recently, remember last episode I talked about how I tracked down all the comics I really wanted, like forever, that I've been trying to get for years, like Captain N and the Game Master and the stuff. And shortly after that, I also did an order where I got a bunch of number ones of old comics to try out and see which series I want to collect. And one of them was The Realm by Arrow Comics. And Guy Davis, I guess that's at the start of his career maybe or something, but it's, I like the art. Like I thought like for the time it was there's definitely a lot of things you can complain about, but for me, I really enjoyed it. But basically this story.
Did you ever read Myth Adventures, that stuff?
I don't recognize it, no.
The artwork. They were started out as novels, but it's Phil Fogel. Okay. He does the Girl Genius stuff. But his old thing was Myth Adventures. Mm-hmm. And they were books, but he also did comic versions of them. And the books were written by Robert Lynn Asprin, but he did like an adaptation. And his old artwork reminded me kind of the same as that sort of fun cartoony, and they're also kind of both D&D style worlds. But anyways, go on.
And as you know,
I'm your take.
As you know too, I'm very into the D&D type stuff right now because I play it too. So that's another reason why I picked up all these number ones. I got are pretty much related to D&D type worlds or whatever. And so this one, it kind of has the feel of, remember that old Dungeons and Dragons cartoon where they get sucked into the mountain and then the real people become D&D characters?
Vaguely.
Like it was the only D&D cartoon there was. Like it was like normal people like us. They went on a ride and then next thing you know it, they were in the D&D world and they had fantasy adventures.
Didn't they bring that back or something on Fox at one point?
It could be. It was recently on DVD and stuff, I think. Huh. But it has a feel like that because that's what this is. Basically it's people, they go to like a cabin or something, or they inherit a house from his dead grandpa or something like that. And they end up getting transported to this fantasy world. The only thing that really bugged me about this was one of the girl characters was really ditzy and acting weak, which I guess was common for stories at the time or movies and stuff. But for me, as I was reading the story, like I guess how stories are nowadays, I thought the girls were going to be the ones that kind of would be awesome fighters too, but they end up being kidnapped once they get to this fantasy world. So it's the two guys trying to find the two girls while they're dealing with like goblins, and they come across a ranger girl that ends up joining them on their journey. It doesn't get too into story yet, mostly them just getting lost there, but I found myself really wanting to get into it, and I am going to order the rest Some of the other comics I picked up was the Post Nuke Brothers, I think it's called. Have you ever heard of that one? Hello?
Post.
Yeah, it was like Post Nuke Brothers or something like that. It's another older one. The Post-Apocalyptic Brothers, maybe. What else? Oh, I forget. I'll be reviewing them one by one as I go along, probably every show. But yeah, a lot from like old companies like Arrow and stuff.
Yeah, I should
Yeah,
bring
I think
back some
wasn't there
old
also
stuff.
magic in that world?
Yeah. Yeah, like it's one of
I
the guys
remember
that gets
liking it
there
though.
becomes a wizard.
I just think it probably fell prey to like weird distribution for me. That's probably why I only had the first few issues, because I think I've talked about this before. I have only one comic store growing up. Like if it didn't.
It went like four volumes, I think, except like the last two were like Caliber Press. They
Yeah.
seem to pick up a lot of these properties from these older companies, and then they'll put out like a one shot or two issues and stuff. So some of the volumes are like that, but the first two volumes were like 20 something issues each, I think.
I think that's so funny. You found that old comic that I read off the shelf.
Oh yeah, like there'll probably
Well,
be a lot you're gonna remember that I'll be bringing up because I bet you they're all ones that you saw on the shelf at the when you were younger.
my wrap up is going to be really brief. I want to let people know Steve and I talked about Sapphire. I bought the paper copies at a show and he got the digital. So I backed the Kickstarter for two and the digital's out. I haven't gotten the paper copy of number two yet. But that was the kind of really oversized, cool looking artwork. But the digitals are out because I'm in the Kickstarter. I get those too. I mean, I'm getting the paper, but the digitals are out. So I wanted to direct people. Maybe, I don't remember if Steve backed it. Maybe if he did, we'll talk about that. I also wanted to point out something. There's a comic book, and I'm going to send the link on to Steve or Kevin or whoever. Zayra. I think it's called Zayra. Not going to talk to him about it because it's really short. It's
Are
a
you sure
really
you're getting the
neat.
names right now?
Yeah, maybe it's Zedra.
I'm properly remorseful, and I think I'm getting the names right. But you're good to call me out on it. And this is Alex Chung, Dana Obera, Jeff Rawira, Children's. And it's just really cool. I happen to know Alex. He's based here in Southern California. He gave me a paper copy, which I think so you can read it for free. And I just think it's really strong, beautiful artwork, strong storytelling, fun. And these super short comics are certainly a lot you can say without spoiling it. But check it out through our various books or Twitter or however we on the threads, however we promulgate our information. It's out there. But you can also just search Zayra and Tumblr that way if you don't feel like waiting around. But
Or you can
I
look
want
up
to
some
thank
good
everyone
porn.
for you could or some bad porn.
Yes.
It's all out there, kids, on the internet. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. We're going to try and keep our schedule a little bit better
Weekly.
if we can.
Yeah, we're weekly now.
Steve is a Steve's a Steve has a lot of obligations, but as the calendar turns and his kids go back to school and vacations are over, hopefully we can get him back. We desperately miss him up for Steve. But in his place until the rest of us stop. Until how about this until I no longer make mistakes. Keep reading those indie comics.
Thank you.